Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
We have to do it.
Okay. We have to talk about.
We're committed. This is the last time we have to talk about how terrible Link is.
Oh my god, yes.
Unless we watch Captain N, because he's in Captain N and it's the same voice actor. That's right! Today, for behind-the-scenes stuff for Legend of Zelda Episode 3, we're going to talk about voice actors. Oh. Starting with Jonathan Potts, who's the voice of Link. And he's the voice of Link in Captain N again. So we get more Link in the future. We get to hear more from him, but apparently he's less annoying. The internet tells me that he's a older, more mature, and less kiss-obsessed version of the character. So
you mean less like rapey?
A little less rapey. Okay. Jonathan Potts has. Oh, hey, I'm Troy.
I'm MC.
Anyway, he's also been in The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3. He's been in Arthur. He's been on a Hello Kitty show. He's been in Beyblade. Have you ever watched Beyblade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did as a kid.
I know nothing of
old
Beyblade.
Teenager.
I know that it has to do with tops.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Battle tops. Okay. They have little metal bits and souls and stuff in them.
Okay, now hang on. They have little metal bits. Cool, I'm with you. And souls?
Yeah, like... it's really weird. It's like a creature comes out of the tops, and it's like supposed to be imagination. They have like little stickers on them with these like characters of what the top is supposed to be, and they come out and they do battle on the screen.
But they're tops.
Yeah. It's really weird show.
Anyway, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
But I've never watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Either, which is the other one, because I'm like, they're just playing war with cards, I think.
Yeah.
But monsters?
No. It's Pokemon. You remember the Pokemon card game?
Mm-hmm.
It's that, but with different creatures, and they called it Yu-Gi-Oh! And you can only have, like, 6 or 7 cards out at a time to do battle. It's like you need to whittle down your opponent's, points level. I don't know. It's weird. I watched so much of these cartoons as a kid, and I can't remember any of them because after, like, maybe 3/4 of a season or a season and a half, I just stopped watching them because they were terrible.
That's what I did with every episode of Zelda, is I watched about 3/4 of the episode and then stopped watching it.
No, it's serious. When I was a teenager, I would start watching cartoons, any random stuff. That's how I found Samurai X and a few other animes. Like, that's how I got into anime. I was just like, oh, what's this? And I'd start watching a season and I'd be like, oh yeah, this is cool. Yu-Gi-Oh! Beyblades. There was a few others in that time that had like that weird we're fighting, but it's not actually
we're not
real.
Fighting. We're just willing something else to fight for.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah, but they're not real, or it is real. We're going to leave it ambiguous if that's what's actually happening. With the Yu-Gi-Oh one, it was like they were playing cards on like a holodeck, and these monsters would come out and do battle. From the cards. Yeah.
The monsters aren't real?
It's a holodeck sort of thing. But it was kind of real because it had like this ancient stuff attached to it. It was weird, that show, Yu-Gi-Oh.
I can't.
No.
But we're going to have to someday. You know what else Jonathan Potts has been in? You might have seen Jonathan Potts, potentially. Did you ever see Jason X?
Yes, I did.
He plays the professor that's taking the kids on a school trip.
Wait one second.
Wait, where's MC going? Okay, he's gone across his room. He's reached behind a computer, and he's grabbed the DVD of Jason X. He had it close at hand.
Okay, let's see.
How did you grab that fast?
Oh, it's over on my shelves just over there, so... No, I don't see him on here, so...
He's probably not pictured on there, but so he's the Professor Lowe, who I guess is taking kids on a trip, and I assume they all then get murdered. I don't know, I didn't read much into it, but...
So, Jason X, you want the short TDLR?
Heck yeah! Yeah.
So, it's way in the future. Humans don't live on Earth anymore. A professor and a group of students, like university, college-age students, come down to Earth, find Jason, who was blown up, blown up, convicted of all his murderous crimes, and then frozen and put in, like, this tube. They find Jason in the tube, like, thousands of years in the future. They pick him up, take him up onto their spaceship, thinking, oh, this guy's been dead forever. He's never going to come back. But it's Jason, so of course he comes back.
Okay.
And he kills all the students and everyone on the spaceship. And there's this great scene where there's like this holodeck that some pervy guy's been using. It's like one of the programs is... like camp, like you know how Jason's from Crystal Lake, and
sure, yeah.
There's these two topless girls, and they're being all flirty because I guess that's their program. And what Jason does is one of them's in the sleeping bag, he picks up the sleeping bag with the person in it, closes the top, and just starts smacking it up against a tree.
Jeez. That's so violent.
Yeah, it's really violent and hilarious at the same time because it's ridiculous. It's like supposed to be sci-fi Jason.
That's a weird concept.
Yeah.
But hey, it had Link in it, so that's nifty. Princess Zelda is played by Cindy Preston. She's done a ton of acting in TV and TV movies. Nothing that really stood out to me except for she was apparently on General Hospital for 3 years, so I guess that's good, but it looks like she's just, like, a solid working actress, like, has done just a little bit of everything. But that's not who we really want to talk about. I want to talk about the voice actor for your favorite character, MC.
Ganon? Oh, my God.
The voice actor for Ganon is Len Carlson, and he has done so many things. Let's talk about his acting. He was Mr. Frumble on The Busy World of Richard Scarry. He was Professor Coldheart in The Care Bears. He played Senator Robert Kelly and the Supreme Intelligence in X-Men. He was the Green Goblin in the 1967 Spider-Man series. And there were two 70s shows, The Undersea Adventures of Captain Nemo and The Toothbrush Family, in which he played every single male character.
Oh my God.
He was also on a bunch of shows produced by a company called Nelvana, which included Roly Poly Oly, Donkey Kong Country, Beetlejuice, and, again, Beyblade. So this dude has done a ton of acting. However, he's also had two other notable careers. And MC, I now need you to guess. What else do you think the guy who played Ganon and the Supreme Intelligence and the Green Goblin might have done in his other careers?
I want to say carpentry, but I don't know why.
Okay.
Politician, maybe?
Ooh, that's a good guess. He was not a politician. I'm going to give you one of his careers in a general sense. This was in the 70s and 80s, after he had been the Green Goblin on Spider-Man and several other major roles. He was a salesman. Can you guess what he might have been selling as a salesperson?
Vacuum cleaners?
God, Kraft cheese.
What?
He was a Kraft cheese salesman in Canada in the 70s and 80s after being a voice actor in the 60s.
You mean that plastic cheese? Or like?
Awful plasticky cheese? Yeah, he was a salesman for that.
Fair
for two
enough.
Decades after being a voice actor and before being a voice actor again. He was also a professional athlete.
Ooh.
Can you guess what sport he might have been a professional athlete in?
Ooh, 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 ooh. Okay, so Kraft cheese. Sport, voice acting, football.
He was a running back in Saskatchewan.
There we go.
But he was also a pitcher in Seattle. So he was a professional football player and also a professional baseball player and also a professional voice actor and also a professional cheese salesman. This dude is my hero. he was on minor league teams. He wasn't on the Mariners. He was on minor league teams in both Saskatchewan as a football player and Seattle as a baseball player. But yeah, dude lived a crazy life. He has unfortunately passed away. But yeah, Len Carlson, the voice of Ganon, also the voice of the Moblins, just did a little bit of everything, which I think is super cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Welcome to the best animated shows ever so far.
Yeah, we never did that part.
Yeah, no, we didn't. I totally forgot.
It's fine.
But we're getting into the episode now, I'm guessing, of talking about Zelda.
Uh-huh. The White Knight.
The White
is
Knight.
The name of this episode.
Yeah.
September 22nd, 1989.
Yeah, well, the opening scene in this is you see Hyrule Castle off in the background, and there's a village, and you hear clopping noises.
Link and Zelda are riding up. They're out visiting the minor villages, I guess.
No. Right before that, you actually see the White Knight come into at the bottom of the frame for just like a couple of seconds before they cut to Link and Zelda.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. So he is foreshadowed.
Yeah.
The White Knight. Who could it be? They're at a market or just hanging out in this village, and we get the introduction here that everyone can do magic.
Yep.
Which,
because the blacksmith, he's working on a horseshoe, and to light his forge, he just goes click and fire.
Mm-hmm. And as they're talking about how everyone can do magic, Zelda uses her magic to style her hair, which is kind of cool, I guess.
She's talking about how everyone has a little bit of magic, and the reason, and that's one of the things Ganon wants. He wants to covet the magic in Hyrule. One piece at a time.
Does the fact that everyone can do magic have anything to do with this episode? It doesn't, right?
I think it might be foreshadowing later, or explaining how, like, everything, like, weird things happen in this show, and they don't really explain it. Like the growing and shrinking of weapons and everything, and like,
it kind of excuses that, but it has nothing to do with this specific episode. It's just
not really,
I guess. Okay.
Or except for Ganon's like why he wants everything,
right? Because hey, guess what? It's an episode of Legend of Zelda, so Ganon's gonna show up and try and get the Triforce.
What's really weird is they're just hanging out in this town. We haven't seen Ganon or anything yet. They're just hanging. They're doing stuff. Zelda does her hair, talks about a bit of magic, and then all of a sudden, an underground entrance just sort of opens up in the middle of the street, and tin suits come walking out.
Which, like, is really unfortunate, because like you said, they're just hanging out here. If Ganon had attacked any other village, he probably would have been fine. He just happened to attack the one place where Link and Zelda were hanging out.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They do a pretty good job of handling the tin suits at first.
No. Well, Link does okay, and he gets rid of a few of them. And then all of a sudden, one of the tin suits gets the upper hand and gets Link's sword away from him.
Yep. And then Zelda's out of ammo because she's been shooting at him.
Yep.
She's out of ammo, and Zelda's stuck, and guess what? He says something awful because he demands that she blow him a kiss because he's in trouble. Like, why? Link. I think I said Zelda. Link. Link, my dude. She don't want to kiss you. Just stop it. Just leave it alone.
So Link knocks over a couple of tin suits. Mm-hmm. From what I can tell, they're the last couple alive, but Zelda's out of her bolts. Link has lost his sword, and he Yeah, one of the other tin suits that he's already killed has dropped, what was it, a rupee?
And
a crossbow. And that's what happens.
That's what Zelda's using.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's so what happens is the tin suit drops the crossbow and the rupee, and as Link is, like, being held, he goes, "Here you go, Zelda," and he kicks the crossbow to her, and that's what she's firing at them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's down to the last couple, he knocks them onto the ground, and then he sees the rupee, which is... So this bit I didn't get. He's supposed to be an experienced, like, fighter and stuff, and he gets distracted by money on the ground, and he goes for it. And that's how the tin suits trip him up.
Yeah, instead of, like, continuing the fight. Also, you live in the castle. Aren't all your needs taken care of, man? Like, come on.
It's really weird.
Yeah. And then the Octorok?
They scuffle around for a bit, and they kill one more tin suit, and then the last tin suit is like, well, screw this, and he blows on a horn. Mm-hmm. And that's how
That's right. So the Octorok is like this big tentacle monster. It's like, it's an octopus, but its head is a rock. It's an Octorok.
Hmm. Yeah.
I've never put that together. Okay. I'm excited about it.
In Breath of the Wild, they're the things that are in the water that always shoot at you.
Uh-huh.
They actually fling, like, rocks and stuff at you as well in that game.
Because Octoroks, octopus, and rock. I've been playing Zelda games for 30 years, and I never put that together. My mind is blown. So they throw him through a wall, right? They throw Link through a barn or something.
Yeah.
And then the tin suit and the Octorok start fighting over the rupee.
Actually, during the fight scene... Like, when Link goes running in, he tells Zelda to stay, but she doesn't listen to him, of course, because who's going to listen to that douchebag? But do you remember how he enters the fight with the tin suits?
He, like, does, like, a sweet stunt off of a wagon and flips into the middle of it.
So, there's this weird barrel that's just hanging up in the air for some reason, mm-hmm. and he cuts a rope that... is attached to it that no one's holding or anything. It's just staked in the ground and the barrel's up in the air for some reason. And he runs towards this wagon or cart and he jumps on the handle as the barrel falls into the wagon, which flings him into the middle of the tin. Like, how does that work?
It was totally unnecessary, but I liked it. That was a cool stunt.
It was a cool stunt, but why was the barrel in the air? Why was the cart placed directly under the barrel? How in the hell was he supposed to get from, like, halfway down the block into the middle of the tin suits?
I can answer all your questions. The barrel was hoisted in the air because it was goddamn heavy, and it needed to get put in the back of the cart. So it was hoisted in the air on the pulley system, and then they backed the cart up underneath it, and then they were just about to lower it down when, oh no, tin suits showed up, and so they ran away.
Okay, see, it all fair makes enough. Sense. But the half block, like, it flings him, like, half a block. What the hell's in that barrel that's that heavy that it didn't smash immediately as it hit the cart and destroy the cart as well?
Arrows. Knowing the Legend of Zelda, arrows. It's just full of arrows.
Yeah, that or heart pieces.
Yeah, it was full of hearts. It was really gross. Did you see that ooze coming off of it?
But the weirdest thing happens. The last tin suit and the Octorok fling Link through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after he's gone, are like, oh, that rupee's mine. And they both fight over it. Like, why?
Why? Why do you guys care?
Because
Ganon doesn't pay well. He's got shitty benefits for his minions is why. So Link shows back up while they're fighting.
with a 2x4 in hand because he doesn't have his sword anymore.
Does he take out the tin suit with that?
So what happens is the Octorok fires that energy ball or whatever at Link, and Link smacks it back at the tin suit. That's how he gets rid of
That's
it.
That's right. That's right. And then he lassos the Octorok, who then
once
runs
again,
away.
The incredible pouch that holds endless things. He pulls out a rope out of it that's already tied into a lasso for some reason. And he lassos it.
It's like a quick action is lasso the Octorok. I mean, it's a good move. Except for the Octorok, it's very big, Link, and you're very small. And so the Octorok runs away and just drags Link off behind him.
Oh, yeah. And they run through, I think, it's not a chicken coop. It's like a hutch or something. It's like a small little roof that's like 3 feet off the ground and has like 4 poles attached to it that hens might want to go and lay under it on a hot day. And then through a bale of hay. And Link's all dirty at this point.
Yep.
Because he's being dragged along the ground through all that stuff. And then as they get to the road, somehow Link gets up onto his feet again and tries to stop the Octorok by leaning backwards. That's all he does. He leans backwards as he's standing up, holding onto the rope. Like, you know that's not going to work, right, Link? You're just skiing at this point. That's my favorite thing. I'm like, oh, this is like, what is it? The one where you're on skis and the boat pulls you.
Oh yeah, water skiing, right?
Yeah, water skiing.
Water skiing.
Yeah, it's like that. Or the other thing it reminded me of because it's the tube on the. I've seen people online videos of them doing sledding like that with cars as well in the snow. But
that seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. Like, whenever I see that, I'm like, those people are going to fly off and go through something. When it's on the water, I'm like, the boat's going to stop suddenly and they're going to fly into the back of the boat. That's always what's going through my head. The worst one I actually saw was they had an inner tube and they're getting pulled along by the boat. And all of a sudden, the rope snaps and flings back and hits the person.
Oh, God. Ow.
And they go back for him, and he has this bruise across his chest.
Jeez. Yeah, that seems dangerous.
Yeah. I'm always like, yeah, never doing that sort of stuff. Or parasailing. Anything that drags you behind it is, I'm telling you now, is a bad idea. So
I've done tubing behind a boat, and I've done wakeboarding once. That's it.
But yeah, this scene reminds me of like all the bad things that could happen while you're doing that. And at the end of it, Link's just a little dirty. He's not hurt at all, which I don't really get.
I think probably the worst thing that could happen while you're being towed behind a large object would be a very handsome stranger showing up and smiting that large object which was towing you.
No, that'd be like the best thing. What are you talking about? I got a note here that I forgot to bring up. So you know when Link gets caught by the tin suit in the fight? Do you remember how the tin suit's holding him? He has him in a full Nelson.
Does he?
Yeah. He's got both his arms underneath his arms and then his hands wrapped around the back of his neck. So he's in a full Nelson. Yeah.
It's a good hold.
I'm like, Link's in a full Nelson.
Poor Link.
Yeah.
Poor Link. Prince Facade shows up, and he's super dreamy and handsome and super cool, and Zelda's instantly in love.
And he's dressed all in white.
All in white, with a big white horse that only has room for two on it, because he smites the Octorok and then invites the princess to ride back to him. And he's like, my steed can carry two people. And Link's like, what about me? And he's like, it can't possibly carry three people.
And then Zelda's like, oh, you can find your way back.
They weren't at the castle. They were out at a village, and somehow Link and Zelda got to that village. I'm pretty sure they had like a carriage thing there. Does that just get left? It's just forgotten about. Who cares? She's a princess. She's got extra carriages.
Because he slayed the Octorok. He leans down and he picks up the rupee that the Octorok dropped, and he's like, I think this is mine. And Link's all like,
monster, this is my rupee.
Yeah, and Link's all like, oh, what? But I, ah.
He gets the girl, he gets the rupee. Oh, Link's got nothing.
Here's the best thing. Him and Zelda took care of, like, most of the tin suits, which was the big problem in the village, and this monster just sort of ran out of the village, like, almost immediately after showing up. It didn't really cause any trouble in the village, except for throwing Link through a few things.
Right.
The tin suits were, like, what came along and were like, we're going to destroy this place.
Yeah. Which, that rupee came from one of the tin suits originally. Yeah. Not from the Octorok, so...
Yeah. And it's one of the few tin suits Link actually did defeat.
Yep. That is rightfully Link's.
Yep.
Unlike Zelda, who is not rightfully Link's.
Nope.
So back at the castle, Facade has taken Zelda back, and the king and Zelda are both, like, fawning over him. And
yes.
To the point that somebody says, like, the king says, like, where's Link? And Zelda goes, who?
Yeah.
Like, she's totally, like, Link is not in her mind at all. But again, this bothers me because I'm like, Link, he's not a romantic competitor for you because Zelda's not romantically interested in you. You goddamn monster.
Oh.
So.
This is the best thing. So in the scene when, Vasad is like, oh, well, Princess, I can take you back to the castle. Link puts out his hand to shake Vasad, and this is where you first get the inkling that this guy is kind of not very nice, because he refuses to shake Link's hand because he's kind of dirty.
That's right, yeah. Vasad does not want to get dirty.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Speaking of dirty, Link's all dirty, so he goes to take a bath.
Yep, and this is the worst scene in this episode. So bad. Because Sprite, the fairy, comes flying in with a towel, and she's like... And they're chatting away for, like, 10 seconds before Link's like, wait a second, I'm naked in the bath right now, get out.
Like, that would be like, yeah, my...
That's my immediate reaction if someone walks in on me taking a bath. Get out! I'm naked in here!
And then she doesn't. She doesn't leave. And Link talks to her about how he had Sprite get a new outfit for him. And Sprite's like, oh, you shouldn't try and fit in. I like you just the way you are. Especially right now, as he's in the bath.
Yeah.
Like, why are you so creepy, Sprite?
Oh! We forgot to talk about Ganon's entrance into this episode, because it actually happened. Yeah, because it happens right after the prince snatches the rupee and rides off with Zelda.
Oh yeah,
because so Ganon's... he's like, oh, I know how to defeat Prince Vasad. He's very vain,
and he won't get dirty.
Yeah,
he won't get dirty. MC, that's a plot point.
Yeah, he won't get dirty. And he's like, I've got a way to get Zelda. I thought he was going after the Wisdom Triforce. Why did he just shift interests in this episode?
He says something about, like, get Zelda out of the way so I can get the Triforce.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think basically it's like, if I have Zelda, then Link's going to be focused on getting Zelda and not on protecting the Triforce. I think that's his plan. I think. Maybe. It doesn't really make much sense.
Oh, and yeah, so after that, it goes back to the king and Zelda and all that happening. Oh, right, yeah, the princess, Zelda is, like, complimenting a whole bunch on Prince Vasad, and putting down Link. And what happens, do you remember what happens near the end of that scene, right before we cut to Link in the bath? Prince Fassad winks at himself in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. He sees his reflection as like, hey, good looking.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, great. He's that character.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah. And then bloody bath scene with Sprite happens. She flies off the end of that. Yeah. And then it cuts straight back to the throne room.
Which Link has a great entrance here, because Fassad's telling a story about battling Ganon or something.
Yeah.
And Link kicks in the door and goes, telling lies? Mind if I join in? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good line. I actually like it. And he's dressed up in like all, ooh, look how fancy pants I am outfit.
Yeah. And it's like a terrible outfit. He's got like cowboy boots with spurs on and like a big hat with feathers sticking out of it and some puffy shirt.
And puffy shirt, and yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's looking... I've in my notes, it's looking silly AF.
Mm-hmm.
He looks silly AF.
And immediately trips.
I'm blaming the boots on this, but yeah, he trips in front of everyone, and as they start laughing at him, he gets all butthurt and walks off in a huff.
Mm-hmm. He jumps on his horse and says, come on, Catherine, let's get out of here. Is interesting.
Because he's in his bedroom first.
Oh, yeah.
And he's tearing off the clothes.
off his clothes, and he's wearing his normal Link outfit underneath the clothes.
Yeah. And he just pulls a hat out of nowhere or something. He's like normal green hat. The Sprite's like, oh, what does she say? Oh, I can't remember. But she's like, oh, I like you and stuff. And then he's like, well, if the princess doesn't want me around or something like that, it's like, oh, no. If they're going to make fun of me and stuff, she might as well just have the prince protect the Triforce. And I'm out of here. And that's when he jumps out. Yeah. Link quits, and then he jumps out the window onto his horse. Who he calls? Catherine?
Yeah, Catherine. He says, come on, Catherine, let's get out of here.
Not Epona?
No, but that made me so happy, because in Breath of the Wild, I named one of my horses Catherine for no reason. Like, that name just randomly popped into my head, and it turns out that it's the name of Link's horse in the animated series, which I thought was kind of cool. Somehow I knew. Ganon does a bunch of stuff and makes an attack.
Yeah, he starts launching his plan at this point, because he's like, ah, yes, Link has left, just as I had planned. What? You didn't send Prince Fassad?
I know, that just happened.
Like, Prince Fassad just showed up. Sure, you knew that he was a douchebag and that he was going to chase Link off. Sure, I can understand that. But, it's like... and then he starts, he just does what he normally does.
Yeah, he just summons a bunch of monsters to attack the castle.
That's his whole MO anyway. Like, the only difference is he seems to send a lot more than normal.
This is like a full-on assault.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of, like, little two-legged spider creature things that cover Prince Fassad, and he's like, oh! And, He brags about saving a city to Zelda right at the start of this scene, and like how he killed like a whole bunch of monsters, and
he doesn't do anything.
No, he barely fights off the monsters that jump on him in this scene.
Yeah,
and Zelda gets carried off.
Yep, Zelda gets captured. And carried off through, like, a shallow bit of water.
No. No. So what happens is that there's, like, a hole running through the field and everything. And Link hears Zelda screaming out for help. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't, but I'm going to go help her. What, Link? You just quit. You should still be mad.
You either shouldn't because you quit, or you should because it's the right thing to do. You shouldn't be conflicted, though, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because, like, Link from this TV show absolutely should not go back because he's a horrible douchebag. Link from the video games absolutely would go back with no conflict whatsoever.
No, but here's the thing. At this point, he's conflicted about going saving her.
Mm-hmm.
But he shouldn't be conflicted. He should either feel one way or the other. He shouldn't feel both ways. He's supposed to be the hero. Oh, God. It's so annoying, his character in this scene. Because he's like, awful. Oh, I guess I'll go save her.
I guess I'll go do it.
Yeah.
And he's good at it. That's something that bothers me.
Oh, yeah. That, no, like... because as soon as they, because they, the Zoria, it jumps into the swamp. And the prince gets there and is like, ooh, muddy. Ooh, I'm not going in there.
Ankle deep mud. I'm afraid I can't.
Yeah, I can't. And he's like, this is my hero outfit. You understand? It's a bad image. And she's like, you... no, she says something else, but that's essentially...
I wish she said you were...
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah, because it's essentially what she's trying to say. It's like, come get, help me. You can get a bit muddy. It's not going to ruin your reputation. But
yeah,
he doesn't.
I had to let the princess get kidnapped to keep myself from getting muddy so that I could maintain my image as a hero.
Yeah, and as they're approaching the underground entrance with this big fish creature carrying Zelda, Link comes out of nowhere, jumps off his horse, does some sweet backflips, and lands in the swamp.
Right in the swamp. Oh, he gets so dirty.
Yeah, he gets dirtier immediately, and he's like, I don't care, let's fight. And he takes it. He takes it out, and he saves the princess, and she falls into the swamp, and she's all dirty and muddy, and he escorts her back to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at this point he's like, oh, yeah, I couldn't get dirty. Look at me.
Yeah.
And Zelda's all pissed off at him because he didn't come save her.
Right.
And then...
As she should be.
Yeah. And
I think she knocks him over into the swamp, right?
No. So what happens is he's like trying to be like kind of suave and still towards her, and she's pissed off. So she gets all up in his face, and she's like, oh, really? Essentially is what she's saying. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It's like a pissed off, annoyed Zelda. And the prince falls into the mud anyway. Just gets covered. And I guess somehow the rupee pops out.
Yeah.
And Link picks it up.
Yep. And then he tries to make Zelda kiss him. Because...
And she's like, no, you're muddy. And he's like, so are you. So what does it matter? And she's like, still no. And I'm like, oh, bloody hell, Link. Just let it go.
Just move on, dude. And that's The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, right at the end of the episode, it cuts back to the prince sitting in the mud still. And he just shrugs.
Womp-womp-womp-womp-womp.
Yeah.
God damn it, I hated this show.
Oh. So as we've mentioned in every episode so far, it is at the bottom of the list.
It's definitely the bottom of the list.
We don't need to do that again. So.
Yeah, it is at the bottom of the list. Wait. The big list should have...
I wrote it in already.
Okay, perfect.
I did it before we even started the episode. It's hilarious. Read what it says.
We don't need to see it to know this. Yes. Perfect. So, yeah, our big list now is My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, SpongeBob SquarePants, Biker Mice from Mars, and then The Legend of Zelda at the bottom of the list.
Because
it's the worst.
It is the worst.
Sweet. Now we get to do a fun thing because we get to pick a new show.
Oh, yes. Finally. Oh, to get away from this.
Let's see. Let's pick shows from suggestions first. So I'll send you on Discord because I've got it open here. The ones that people have suggested. These are all the suggestions that aren't from Tyler, because since we just did one show for him, we'll do something else. So you pick one of those, I'll pick one of those, and we each get to pick one of something else.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Sweet. So Aqua Teen Hunger Force was suggested by Johnny Five. Aqua Teen Hunger Force at Johnny Five. From that list, I'm going to say Miraculous Ladybug from Mute Banshee, which is like a weird French computer animated superhero show. Looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, now you get to pick one that's not from that list. Just one of anything you like.
This is a little bit harder.
We've both got kind of vaguely superhero-ish shows right now.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards the reason that we wanted to start this show, which is Gargoyles.
Oh, you can't put Gargoyles on the list because it was not on the last one, so you could do that.
Yeah. It's either that one or Rocko's Modern Life. So I don't have a coin around. Oh wait, this will do. Heads, tails.
Is that a coaster?
Yeah.
Perfect.
It came up heads, and because I decided heads was Mocko Modern Life, that's Rocko's Modern Life.
Rocko's Modern Life. All right, I'm going to put on Clone High. Clone High is interesting. You got a D4 on hand? I don't have any here right now.
I don't, but I do have a roller.
Oh, that'll work.
On my D4. Did that work? No, it did not. Why did you not work? Oh, because I've made a space. Why aren't you working? Oh.
This is the longest spinning sound.
There we go. I got two.
A two. It is Miraculous Ladybug, suggested by Mute Banshee D3 on Twitter. That will be our next show we watch. And let me do a quick Google. Google Miraculous Ladybug episodes. We will be next time watching Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, episode 1 of season 1, which is called Stormy Weather. Now there's an interesting thing here, MC.
Yeah.
This is a French show.
Oh.
Subs or dubs?
Ooh.
Actually, I don't think it's... I think the dubs, it's... Well, I guess, yeah, it would be. It would be subs or dubs, yeah.
I'll because I haven't seen this, and I've seen the animation style. It's kind of like that 3D animation sort of stuff. I can totally watch that in English. I won't have any problem with that in English.
I think I will be watching it in English as well.
It'll just be easier to take notes.
Yeah. Definitely. So that'll be our next show. Will be Stormy Weather from Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. We'll see you then.
Later.
We never have to talk about The Legend of Zelda, the animated series, ever again.
So bad. Thank you, Tyler, but also you, Tyler.
Thank you, and you, and good night.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at BaseSFcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
Hey there, friends. Turtle Power here. Just popping in with a quick bit of business. First of all, I misspoke. While Stormy Weather is production number one of Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, episode one is actually The Bubbler. So if you're watching along, The Bubbler is the one to watch next. Just go on Netflix, they're in order. Also, don't forget, this is the last chance to enter into the contest we're doing, that giveaway for a Legend of Zelda boss keychain. We don't have very many entries so far, so go check the pinned tweet on our Twitter account, and there's a good chance that you could walk away with a nifty little keychain. That's all I got. Have a good day, everybody. I'll see you later.